And we're on.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to season four of The Unpopular Playground, also known as The Great Escape. This is where we're going to help young people prepare for navigating and staying on the path to getting out on their own. And we're going to discuss ways for this to happen and let them allow themselves to become independent. And Jennifer, would you like to start?
Absolutely. There seems to be a process. I think that to unpack it, it made sense. We did some summer episodes on boundary keeping, stress management, and designing your life. If you've not seen those episodes, we did four little mini episodes for each week over the summer on those, because if you're stressed out, if you don't have boundaries with people, and if you don't know the direction that you want to head, anything else that we have to say is not going to matter. All your time's going to be wasted with people that you shouldn't be hanging out with, things that you shouldn't be doing, not knowing how to manage your time, and not knowing where you're going. You're just going to be like a fish out of water when you go fishing and that fish is flopping around in the boat. If you've ever gone fishing, it just has nowhere to go and it's just there and not breathing, thriving, because it's not in its correct environment. What do you have to say about that to start off?
I agree. You have to have a direction, and you also have to have the tools to get to where you want to be. And that's what we're going to be discussing, is how do you navigate leaving your parents' home and achieving the goals that you need to get out of the home and to make it on your own and to continue to live on your own. These are the major things that we're going to be discussing in The Great Escape.
Yeah, and I think I've experienced all stages of this. And sometimes you have the little in-between stages. Currently where I'm at right now is just where you're not at home. I don't want to spend money for an apartment, wasting money to go to thousands of dollars. It's so expensive here in California, almost $5,000 for just a decent apartment. And because I'm sorry, I don't want to live in the ghetto. So I'm not going to do that and feel like I'm just barely surviving. I would rather just, I'm renting a room right now, and that's comfortable for me. Not my ideal, but it's better than living at home. So there's a lot of different options of what you can do to feel like you have your independence where you have your independence, and then you have a plan to be independent, fully having your own space. It takes a lot. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot to navigate in this. As we were going through, we had talked about Unpopular Playground. It's very much in line with the school year. From September to May, we have a theme for each month for you to be able to think about. And we're going to have many discussions on these themes. Each one, as we unpack it, it's going to build one on top of the other, that so that way by the time we get to our final topic, you're going to have those tools, you're going to feel confident, at least know what you need to research more on, and we'll try to give more resources on these things. So beginning in September, and some of these things we had done before, but the first two seasons were completely erased because Spotify punished us.
Sadly.
You're not going to use our platform? Fine. Your first two seasons are gone. We had 15 on the first year and 36, I think, on the second year. And we were going every other year. We were on the odd years, but we're a little odd, so I guess that's okay. But responsibility and accountability, if you don't have these things, you might as well not even try. What are your thoughts about that? This episode is going to be on our audio platform. So if you're listening on audio, you'll definitely want to jump over to YouTube to get all of this on video and these additional little mini talks. So what are your thoughts on that? The importance of accountability and responsibility, Debbie?
Those are the two main points that you have to be able to go out on your own. First of all, you got to be accountable for all your actions. You can't blame everybody that, oh, I can't pay my rent because I just don't have the money. Why don't you have the money? I spent it. I bought these new pair of sneakers that I just had to have. There's a difference between a want and a need. First, you want to have a place to live, what you need to be accountable for. You don't need the sneakers. You wanted the sneakers. You need to have your priorities set straight. And that's what accountable means. You got to set your priorities in life and housing, food, job. Those are the things you need to be accountable for. And that's the only way you're going to get out and stay out on your own. And you can't keep going back and forth. And for parents, they have to also realize this. You can't keep letting children go out and just screw up and not be accountable for themselves and come back home and you just cover up for everything. And then the kids go back out again. You got to let them sometimes hard when they talk about tough love. That's what tough love
is.
Oh,
yeah.
Letting your kids make mistakes and learn from their mistakes and then realize that if they don't take responsibility for their actions, this is what happens in the end. So
we'll talk about the difference between accountability and responsibility too, because they're very similar, but they're different. It's like that saying, all squares are rectangles, but all rectangles are not squares.
Yeah.
And you think about the politicians and the lack of accountability and responsibility when you see grown people blaming this and that. I'm very sorry that society, for all of you young people, is not setting a very good example. But it doesn't mean that you have to follow that trend. The lack of accountability and responsibility, that's gone viral. If everybody else jumps off a bridge and you know that it's a bad idea, you don't have to go jump off that bridge too. You can set the standard. You can stay the course and you can say, that's fine for you, but that's not what I'm going to do. That doesn't align with my goals. I want to be able to be independent. Kicked my son out once. And he said that was the best thing that I did. He didn't want to live by my rules. He didn't do this. I said, absolutely. None of this is going on. And he didn't abide by that, by the contract that we had made, because he insisted on moving out. And I said, are you sure you want to do that? Because it's going to be a different set of rules when you come back. He said, what makes you think I'm going to come back? And I said, baby, they all come back home at least once. The second when he came back, there was a contract and he had rent to pay and you're going to do this, you're not going to do this. And it wasn't very strict. It's just basically, you're going to let me know when you're going to be in, because when the house is locked and you're not in it, you don't come back in afterwards. I'm not going to be dealing with a bunch of crap. So when he didn't do that, it wasn't like I disowned him or anything. It's like, you figure it out, boy. And I invited him to come in for dinner and I helped him out and things like that, but you're not living here.
Correct.
Because you don't want to abide by my rules. You're not living here. Simple as. And he figured it out in about 3 months and he came back, but he made sure to toe the line as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of today's problem is too, there's no consistency. There's no rules to be followed at home. Growing up, you knew what you had to do. You knew the rules you had to abide by, and there was no leniency. It was this, or there was punishment to be had if you didn't do it.
Not to be at consequences.
If you didn't do this, you didn't get the use of the car, or you didn't get to go out with your friends or whatever. If you didn't hand in your homework or you didn't pass a test, you didn't get to do the extracurricular activities. You didn't, there wasn't such a thing. Today, these kids, if they don't pass a subject, they get to go to summer school for a few weeks and do work in summer school that gives them the credit that they would have earned if they had done the work for the whole year. So for them,
exactly.
It's like, I work all year and go sit and do this work with my friends in summer school. So it's not really immediate consequences.
It's not a punishment, really.
No. And there's no taking immediate actions for it. There's no action reaction. And that's right. The biggest problem. So what we're trying to do here is to have kids realize, okay, what do you want to do? What are your interests? Figure that out first. Try this, try that. Okay, set a goal. If that goal isn't interesting, find another. But at least get your head on straight and figure out what is something that I might be interested in doing.
And commit to it.
Right. And then figure out what are the things that I'm going to need to do in order to leave the house. If I go to school, then yes, my parents will probably allow me to live at home, which is a good thing. But if I'm not going to go to school, then I have to have a job and figure out a way to pay for my own place to live. And
that's the beauty of it.
You've got to set your own ground rules, and then you got to follow them. There's steps for everything you do, and you just got to take the steps one by one to get to where you want to be. And you can't blame somebody. I hear it all the time. Oh, my teacher didn't correct the paper. Or, oh, my boss didn't like the way I did this. Or, oh, this, that. And everybody else is to blame. It's nobody's fault but your own. Because you are your own advocate. When you do something,
right,
you better make sure that you know that you were credited for what you did. That your work was handed in. The teacher knew you handed it in. The job you did was done and complete. Your boss knew that the job was done and complete. Don't blame everybody, because when you fail, you're the one that's failing. Nobody is failing you.
And one thing that we're definitely going to go over in one of our mini talks is in that responsibility and accountability. Even though you might not be dropping the ball, other people are going to drop the ball and they're going to blame. They're going to look for somebody to blame. You'll want to make sure to document who said what, because otherwise it's going to land on you. If somebody says that they're going to do something, you're going to want to take notes who said it, so that when the accounting comes and you say, no, I did my part, I'm waiting for such and this and that, what can I do to get the ball moving? You got to be proactive in your life and an advocate for yourself, like Debbie was saying, to be able to, okay, this hasn't gone. They dropped the ball. What I need to see to get this ball rolling again.
Right.
You can't just sit there and wait for somebody to do their part, because they're not. And sometimes
right,
knowing how to move that ball along, that's a key skill as well. Knowing to be proactive, to research who is in charge so that they can light some fire under whoever needs to get moving. And with businesses, somebody shuts your lights off, you know you paid the bill, you're going to need to have a conversation with somebody. And that's part of being accountable too. Even though something wasn't your fault and somebody else drops the ball, there's a big arena with accountability and responsibility and your part. Even though you've done your part, there's a lot involved in this. And we're going to go over those things in September. So those are some things to think about. At the end of every month, we're going to have a live discussion to where you can join us in on the discussions. From August, we've done one for a live for all the summers. We're going to do one each month to where you can join us in on the discussion for the month's themes. In October, personal safety. If you don't know how to be safe in your house, you need to be able to watch out for yourself, lock your doors, be prepared for whatever natural disasters are in your area, so that something happens, you're not going, oh my gosh, what do I do? Just a habit, just like school drills. Go under your desk in an earthquake. Whatever it is that you do, it's just automatic. And because if you don't know what to do, what is it like, Debbie, sometimes your stove will, the carbon monoxide thing or whatever, you have those monitors in your house. So just different safety features in your house to consider of what you might have to be safe. What are some things that comes to mind when you think of personal safety?
For me, I unplug my appliances. Of course, not the refrigerator, but I unplug my air fryer. I unplug my toaster oven. I never leave my hair dryer plugged in. Certain things that aren't a necessary item that you have to, like a refrigerator where you have to keep plugged in, I unplug because it's, especially when I'm going away, in case there's a power surge, you don't have to worry about when the power kicks back on that it could cause a fire. I make sure that,
what about emergency numbers? Like having emergency numbers hand?
Yeah, I have them all on my phone. I have numbers on my phone.
Kids will not think about these kind of things as they're growing. You just think that, just go get a house and go get this. And there's so much to think about. Overwhelming.
I have fire extinguisher in my house. I always have plenty of water in my house in case of anything. After COVID, a lot of stuff you do that you have that you don't even think about. But I've always done that kind of stuff.
And then you have pets. You have to think about them, too.
Yeah.
What are you going to having extra for them? Making sure they're taken care of. What do you do when you leave the house? All that kind of stuff.
Yep. I have a doggy door. So I always know that if anything, they're not going to ever be stuck in the house. I never really sat down and thought about all the safety stuff I have.
That's okay. We're going to go over it anyway. We're just glossing over everything. Yeah. Just a few things to give people an idea of what they're talking about.
Yeah. Make sure your neighbors have a key. That was the biggest thing for me, that anybody could get in the house.
Yeah, home safety, personal safety, safety for your pets, safety for emergencies, what kind of things to have in your car if there's an emergency and you're out and about. We're going to be going over all this kind of stuff for you to think about. So we're not going into too much detail now, but we want to give you a reason to come back, that you want to stick with us this season for sure. By June, if you're thinking about getting out, especially if you're a little bit older and maybe you've already graduated high school, these are some things that you can think about and start gathering together. You could be independent by next September with all of these tools and stuff like that. At least you'll have a better idea of what you need to get out and independent. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about. And they don't teach it to you in school. And a lot of times parents don't stop and think, wow, now, what does my child need to become independent? Let me think of a little plan for the parents. Parents don't do that. I didn't do it. Did you?
No, I have first aid kits. I have tool kits. I have things like that, which I did for my daughter when she moved out. I gave her a regular Red Cross healthcare kit. I gave her a tool kit for women and things like that.
A lot of parents do that, though.
I didn't think of it as, okay, I'm providing you with a personal safety kit. These were just things I did. I just did.
It's just naturally or whatever.
Yeah. And
that's good. I tried to do the same, but I know I certainly didn't have an agenda like what we're doing right now.
This is
something I wish I would have had when I was younger. I had to figure it all out on my own.
I did it because I moved out of my home when I was 17. So I didn't have anybody. I couldn't just go, Daddy, I'm in trouble, or Daddy, I need this. So I had to rely on myself from 17. I had to make everything that I needed to take care of myself. So it's, what do I need in my car? There's always water, paper towels, wipes, all the things I need. I had a blanket that plugged into the, years ago, you had a cigarette thing. So the blanket, now it's used for your phones and things, but it would plug in there so it would keep you warm. I have a cutter in my car that if I went into the water, it would cut the glass on the car. Things like that. Things I've done, I can list them all in my head as I'm thinking about it.
In November. October is when we're doing personal safety.
I'd have to sit down. And so that's why I said I can't just like, boom.
No. And we're not putting you on the spot. Not putting you on the spot, Debbie. I promise.
No. I'm just saying, but I do have all these things. It's just where I sit down to start thinking about it.
So
we'll have a list.
Could you imagine the average teenager or young adult just saying, I really want to move out on my own. Oh my gosh, what do I even do? And I think a lot of times this is why there's a lot of kids still living at home because just the thought of, oh my gosh, how do I even begin?
Yeah.
They're not teaching it in schools. I think this is really important and I'm excited to be able to help. That brings us to November with support systems. If you don't have your parents as a support system, if they're not supportive, you can get friends, teachers. There's a lot of different things and even professional organizations that can fill in the spaces that we right. will have for you besides this podcast as a support system. You'll want to network and you can even barter, be like, if an emergency happens, I'll take care of this for you and you take care of this. Or generally, most people have friends and you have your friends on your emergency contacts. So it all goes together. Even though we are compartmentalizing everything for teaching purposes, all of this stuff goes together because it's life. This is life and it's messy and ugly, but
yes.
we want to try and help you to be able to highlight certain points one at a time so that you're not overwhelmed. You get depressed thinking about it. You're like, oh my gosh, this is just so much stuff. I'm just going to stay at home as long as I can. And I can tell you from a mom's point of view, at least most moms, most parents, they want you to move on your own. I was ready to help my son pack when he said he wanted to move out. Let's go. What you need. But I wanted to make sure he was stable so that he would right. stay gone.
Yeah.
I want you to come visit, but I don't want you to live with me anymore, baby. It's time for you to fly the nest. Believe me, they're not sad. Most parents are not sad. They want to see you successful. They want to help you. And I'm sure they don't want you living in the basement for the rest of your natural brown life. You get some that they're, I don't know. I think that's I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. It's unpopular playground, but I think it's almost a borderline mental illness if you never want your parents, if you never want your kids to leave. I think that's just weird. Most parents want you to go because they want to travel. They want to do their things too. Want their kids to be successful. Any good parent will be part of that support system. We'll go over that in more detail in November and how you can navigate and network to make that stronger. So if this happens, you know exactly where to go and who is going to be part of your support system for each thing. Because there's no one person does it all. Because if anybody expects me to be their one all, they're going to be severely disappointed. You're going to have your people and they're going to have their people. So just, you need to know who that's going to be for you. And we can help you with that in November. Because if you can't manage your time, you're going to be in a whole world of trouble because you're going to say run out of time. What are your thoughts on time management?
Well, you need to set aside.
Just overall.
You have to know what you want to do and set aside time for everything. If you want to, how long is it going to take to do this? Okay, set aside that. You have to have some sort of a time goal. If you're going to school, it's going to take me so many years to do this. Then you set that goal. In doing tasks, okay, it's going to take me so much time to do that task. Okay, so set a goal. But you have to set the time goal, and then you have to stick to it. You can't give up. That's the thing. People today are ready for that quick fix, the quick answer. Things don't happen now. You got to be prepared and understand that everything takes time and you got to be patient, but you can't take a lot of time on one thing that isn't going to yield you anything and then not give enough time to the thing that is going to give you a reward. So that's the thing that you have to decide. What's going to give me reward? And what's just going to be wasted time? And that's where you've got to draw your lines and say, okay, here's my rewards. Here's my wasted time. So I'm going to focus on what gives me reward. And then I can allow so much time for wasted time, like video games.
It's intentional.
Yeah. You have to say, okay, the studying, the work, college, and whatever else, my job, that's the stuff that gives me rewards. The video games, that's like my de-stressing time. And that's good. Exactly. That's my zen time, my calm down time. There's got to be a balance, but you've got to set that balance and maintain.
And then probably the biggest thing that we're going to go over to help you focus on that is reducing the distractions. We'll go over the many types of distractions and how to reduce them. And like Debbie was saying, that I learned this term, ROI, return on investment. If whatever you're doing, you don't see an ROI on it, that means that you probably shouldn't be doing it. So that's just a real quickie on that topic. In January, we're hitting the meat and potatoes of it. Everything requires insurance. In January, we're going to be going over all the various insurances. You'll get a good idea of what to think about with that.
Yeah.
Home, and these are voluntolds. It means that you can pick whatever one you want, but if you don't have it, the consequences of not having it, car insurance, if you don't have it, you get in an accident, you're going to pay a lot more money and you can go to jail.
Yes.
House insurance. With the fires, they had, California's not offering fire insurance. We had the Palisades fire with no water. Houses couldn't have insurance. Wow, that's a problem. And again, here's another layer on it. The state government isn't taking responsibility or accountability for any of it. The governor knew about the situation and refused to let the water go down to put the fires out. It was like a blame fest. That's a perfect example of not taking accountability when you didn't have insurance. They wouldn't let them rebuild, and they had nothing to rebuild with because they had no freaking insurance. So it's like, what do you do? So we're going to go over and navigate those nuances of insurance. Now they have insurance for everything. Pet insurance, mechanic insurance, all that kind of stuff.
It's a must. I have insurance for everything because without it, unless you're a billionaire, you can't not have insurance. Because when something comes up, like I've had a couple of things with my appliances, and that's what my home warranty covers. If I didn't have those, then I'd be paying out a couple hundred here, a couple hundred here out of my pocket. And you don't always have that at the time when this stuff happens. And auto insurance, because I own my home, I carry a very good homeowner's insurance policy. I carry a very good auto insurance policy, and I'm covered for everything. Health insurance, yes, that, of course. Those are really, to me, the important things, because without those, you're basically up the creek without a paddle. No, I'm an insurance freak. I have everything insured. I have.
Oh, yeah. I even have my phone insured.
My Apple Watch is insured.
Have insurance one time and it gets stolen and then it doesn't get replaced. Jen got insurance after she got her new phone. Yes, she did.
And even when I buy certain things at the store and they'll say, do you want to take the insurance or the warranty or whatever else on this, a lot of the stuff I will, but as long as it's something that it's an insurance where I can bring it back to the store. If it's something where I have to mail the thing out, then no, because that's a pain.
So these are things that we want to give you to think about. What the waste of your time with insurance, things not to get. There's another word that we're going to introduce to you called deductible.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of deductible, because depending on, and that's how much money you have to put up front in order for them to cover you. You can have a lower insurance, but your deductible will be higher. Or if you have a low deductible, your insurance is going to be more. We'll explain the nuance of that in January when we talk about insurance. And then we got February, transportation. How do you plan to get around being independent? Do you plan on having your own car, your own thing, or are you going to take public transport? No matter what you do, it's going to require a budget. Even if you decide to bike it, you have to maintain your bike. And what things do you need to have insurance on? There's so many different things. What's your thoughts on transportation, Debbie?
Transportation.
Real quick.
It depends on what you're doing. If you're going to a college that's close by and you can take a bus or the train, then that's fine. If you want to save on money, you would be living at home and you could do that. But if you have something where you need to drive a car, then I would suggest looking, and you don't have to get a big show-off car to be a big shot amongst your friends. Get something that is reasonable, something you can afford, Because remember, you're going to pay insurance on your car. You're going to pay registration on your car. You're going to have to put gas in your car. So you want something that is going to...
And regular maintenance.
And you don't want something that's going to cost a fortune for you to have just to drive around in. Those are things to consider. But yeah, I think transportation is very important. And you have to keep up your vehicle. Don't run it into the ground and then come up with a $6,000 repair bill.
Yeah.
That's very important.
And prevention.
Yeah. Prevention is the key. But yeah, I've had my own car since I was 17. And I bought that car for myself with babysitting money that I got over the year. And
nice.
It was a brand new car I drove right off the showroom.
Awesome. She had a 77 Toyota Corolla. And she told me if I wanted to drive, I had to get a job. I had to pay the insurance and I had to pay the maintenance of the thing. So I was motivated to get a job. And I was in high school.
Yeah.
But I had to pay all of this kind of stuff. I got my first job and I literally cashed it at one of the paycheck cashing places that probably charge a lot of interest. I went across the mall and spent every single bit of that money on my first check. And my mom asked me about it. And she said, okay, so I can take you to the bank to cash your check. She's like, where's your money? I said, I got the paycheck stub. So where's your money? I said, it's in these shopping bags.
Oh, God.
And she said, how did you even get it? I said, I went to this thing that said they cashed my check, which I'm sure they took a nice percentage of it. And then I went across the street and I went shopping because you told me I could buy whatever I want. You want this? You go get a job and get it. So I did. Here it is. She said, remember, you said you wanted to drive, so you got to pay insurance, gas, and all this kind of stuff. So what I ended up doing was Jen had a lot of fun, but she said, it costs money. You're going to have to use some of that money before you go shopping. You got bills to pay, sweetheart. You got to pay the insurance. You got to pay for the gas. If something goes wrong with it in these new tires, you're paying for all of that. The battery goes out. You got to pay for the battery. So you got to account for all of these emergencies and have a little emergency stash in case something goes wrong. And you can pay for this because if you can't pay for those things, then your car's not working. Your car's not working. You can't go to work to pay for anything else. So, yeah, I learned a lesson that day about transportation and what it required for a car. Yeah. That was a good lesson, though.
It's sad because years ago, I bought a brand new car, drove it off the showroom, and it cost me $3,000 for a brand new gas was like 35 cents a gallon.
Oh my gosh. I almost spit my drink up.
I know. But it was so doable. Everything was so reasonable. And it's so hard today. Prices of cars, the prices as apartment, the price gas and stuff.
And did you pay cash for your car?
Yeah.
When you got it?
Yep.
Yeah. And I got a brand new car off the showroom too in 2018. But Jen didn't pay cash. Jen's still paying for that car right now. I love it. But that was more like $26,000. And plus with the interest, it's under $10,000 now. Thank God. But just because of the interest, that'll be something we talk about too. So see, one thing leads to another. And this is the reason why we're unpacking these things in order, because one is leading to another. You got to have responsibility. To have this, you got to have the insurance. You can't even drive your car off the lot unless you have insurance. They will not let you take the car unless you have insurance.
No.
So it definitely made sense to talk about the insurance first and then transportation and now job skills. How are you going to continue to pay for all of this?
Right.
Back in summer, from our summer sessions, designing your life, how do you want to keep paying for all of this? You're going to have to work. But what do you want? What's going to make you happy to wake up and go, wow, this is what I want to do. This is my mission. I enjoy it. I'm good at it. I think going to a job that you hate is like slavery, where you just, and where you're being exploited. So you want it to be a happy thing to where I enjoy coming here. They're happy to have me. It's a win-win because they have my skills, my time, and I get money for it to be able to pay the bills.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts on that? So the
job skills, all you have to do is realize, what am I good at? What is something I am really good at, something that I really enjoy doing, and something that I can make a lot of money doing? And that's what you got to focus on. Maybe what you think you're going to make a lot of money doing is not exactly the job that you're going to end up doing. Maybe you might branch out and be doing something else instead in that field. But that's where you go into research. Okay, this is what I enjoyed. This is what I like. This is what I want to do. Now research. What are the opportunities in that field? And then see.
Yeah.
I want to do this. And you don't even realize there's a whole lot of opportunities in that field. Research it. Don't just limit yourself to, I want to do computers. Oh, what do you want to do in computers?
A lot of times people have apprenticeships. So yeah, those are starting to come back. You can try it out a little bit.
The only way you can find out those things is you have to research.
Yeah, you got
to
research. And well, I know. I thought I wanted to be a doctor, Debbie. I really did. And I thought, what's the easiest way I can get in? So I thought, okay, I'll be a medical assistant. I just get into the field a little bit to see. I decided I don't really like that. Definitely don't want to be a doctor. And no offense, definitely do not want to be a nurse. But I loved the phlebotomy part. I love drawing blood. And so I explored that more. Went to school just for that so I could focus on just being the little daytime vampire and being a blood sucker. I liked the quick interaction. Got to talk with a bunch of different people. And so they got on my nerves and I didn't like them. It's okay because they were going to be away. As soon as I got their blood, they go away. If you're a nurse or a doctor, you're stuck to those people all the time. And that's not what I wanted. And it's a nice thing if you get good patients. But if you get the ornery ones that complain about everything and they're depressing and then you're stuck with them the whole time. But if I didn't do that research, if I didn't do that apprenticeship or thing, and it takes a long time to be a doctor and a nurse, Debbie, and to sit there and go through all that schooling and then just to be like, oh my gosh, I hate this.
Yeah.
That would be a waste of time.
Years ago, you had guidance counselors at school, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. They would have sessions with you, and they would go over, what do you want to do? Or I see that you excel in math or English or your writing. And they would talk to you about different things and say, okay. They would give you pamphlets, brochures, or different things that you could go and talk to people. They had job fairs at schools and stuff.
You got lucky. You had good ones because the ones that I had, junior high and high school, they were all useless. They didn't talk to me about anything. It was just like going there, and I dreaded every time I had to go in there to talk with her. I'd always try and think of an excuse not to have to go because it was like a waste of my time. And I thought, oh my gosh, this would be good. Just look at this. Here's some job applications. It's like they did the bare minimum. And I thought, this isn't preparing me for anything that I want to do.
Problem. That's the biggest problem. The kids today, nobody is there offering them any kind of options. And the parents don't and the schools don't, so they don't know. So that's what we're trying to bring out to them, is there are places that you can go to find out the options in the areas of where you think that you would excel. And that's what you got to.
And especially this podcast.
That's what I'm saying. That's us.
Yeah, that's us. We're going to be your, your guidance counselors. If you engage with us and let us know what you want, we can help you do that research to get that information to you. Maybe local resources and different ideas of where you can go to do the things that you want to do. If you are interested in a particular field, we can help you do some of that research and we can do an episode on it and feature it. And we will give you that credit as well. So that is with job skills. And then in April, before you go to get an apartment, with all of this kind of stuff, you need to have financial literacy. And that is something that is missing. And I don't think that people really in society want you to know about financial literacy, because they want you to consume and spend all your money and waste it. And I can say that I was always in that category. Nobody really told me how to manage it, what to do with it. And that's why I have Debbie to help me. See, what are your thoughts on financial literacy? Okay. Little overview.
Because I got to go. Financial. My thing is, you got to start making money before you can even think about that. But once you get to a point where you're setting that, you got to think about a budget first. And then how much does it cost for you to exist? Not so much to live, but just to exist. What is the amount that you can comfortably exist on? And that means not that, oh, I can live if I have 80 pairs of shoes and closet full of clothes and get my nails done every 2 weeks. No, this means you have a roof over your head, you have a vehicle that you keep up and maintain, and you have money in your pocket to pay for gas and the basic necessities, and then money to put in the bank and let that money grow. Now, there's a lot of things that you can do rather than, you got money in a checking account, but if you want to make money, you got to put your money into CDs where it'll grow faster than in a savings account. And then let that money grow and let them make money for you in that account. And then you got to be frugal. In the beginning, you got to be frugal and let money make money. Figure out, you got to budget this too. How much can you afford to just take and just go have a good time for a day? If you want to just go somewhere for the day and have a good time, or whatever it is that you enjoy doing, and treat yourself for being so good with your money so that you don't feel, it's like a diet. You go on a diet, but then you say, all right, I'm going to have my cheat day. It's the same thing like with the money, but you can say, okay, I'm going to take $1,000 of what I just saved and I'm going to go do this. No, you have to do it in small quantities. Because you got to grow. Right. And if you start growing it when you're young, you'd be surprised by the time 10, 15 years, you're going to be like, wow, look at all that money I've accumulated. And
right,
time, you're going to be able to say, oh, now I can take $1,000 and go do a vacation or something. That's my idea of fluency with money.
Absolutely. And one of my ideas of what I did is when I worked at the spa, at the hot spring spa, and that can be used as your me time. Like I did that with the spa and right now with Disneyland, because they get the benefits of, they give really good benefits to the employees that I can go into Disneyland whenever I want with my friends. With that's bringing other people in is limited. It's a nice benefit to have because it's something I really enjoy doing and I don't have to pay now to enjoy that benefit and save. And on my days off, I can enjoy the parks and have fun, even if it's just me, because I enjoy it to do that. If you work in a massage parlor or something, hairdressers can get your nails and hair done if you work in that type of spa and you barter. There's so many different options with financial literacy, little hacks that you can do to be able to have your cake and eat it too, not break the bank. So that's some things. We'll have some ideas for you. And the last one in closing is housing. Where are we going to live at? You can live at home. It's going to be probably a lot more restrictive. You have renting a room. You have renting an apartment. And you have buying a house. Those are about your four main options. And I've done all options except for buying a house. I didn't think I would ever want a house, but I know Debbie, you can give your weight in on that for sure.
I've never lived in an apartment. I've never rented a room. I have rented a house only because we didn't know where we wanted to live. I didn't mind. That was okay. But it just, to me, it was throwing my money away and having nothing tangible for it at the end. because I was just paying somebody else's bills. But at the time, it was something that I had to do because it was necessary at the time. I didn't know where I wanted to live, so I wasn't going to just buy a house and then be stuck.
And that part then, right there.
Yeah. And
it's a big decision.
But then when we finally decided where we wanted to live, then we bought our house, and we've sold and bought houses depending on school districts and things like that. Every place you live, we always bought in beautiful areas. And then after so many years, things would start to get a little shady. The schools weren't good. So for Tammy, we would sell and buy somewhere else where the schools were better. There were newer schools. We did that all the way through.
That's a big factor in the districting with the houses.
Yeah.
Did they have it? I'm not sure. Did they have it? You could be living across the street from a school, but you're not districted for that school.
No, we never had that. I never had to worry as far as that went. But it was just that with the work that John did, being that he was in construction, a lot of times it had to do too with his work. Like when the recession hit in California back in the late 80s, everything had died there. So it came to a point where we couldn't stay there or we would have lost everything that we worked for. So we put the house up for sale and because he had friends in Colorado and there was a lot of work up there, believe it or not. So we went to Colorado and we rented because I knew damn I did not want to live in Colorado forever.
Yeah. So be weird, yeah.
We rented up there and that was a little, okay, this is just a short-term deal. And it was like, after a year and a half, it was like, okay, I'm done living here. I'm done renting. We always had our own home. It was like, okay, either we get out of here within the next 2 months or I'm moving back to California and living with my best friend. So we did. We left there and then we went to Arizona, moved home there. And that was nice. We lived there, but I still missed the beach. Then the recession was over and the building was starting again. I said, okay, that's it. We're going back to California. And we sold that house and went back to California. And then we bought our house there and then moved around to areas because of the schools and my donor. I always wanted her to be in a good school to get a good education. So then we always had our own home. It depends on what you can afford
and the work that's available in the area of your industry and what you want to do. There's a lot of things to consider with that. I don't think people in general consider these things when they move to an area or when they buy a house. Should I buy or rent? These are some things that we're definitely going to be going over into great detail in May when it comes to housing. And that's going to tie up our whole great escape and bring it full circle, because that's the whole purpose is once you get that house, once you have all of those things built up, it's okay, now I'm ready to go find some place to live. And these are some considerations that you need to think about and put in order before you get that house. And then those things to maintain it, already discussed them along the way. And hopefully I'm sure more questions will come up. A nice little touch of everything to at least push you off in the right direction so that you feel confident to be able to, okay, now, oh yeah, these are some things. Now I know what to think about. These are things that I have in my toolbox.
You have to realize you can't buy or live in a place that's above your means. So the best bet is to establish your career and then realize, okay, this is basically what my salary is going to be. And this is basically what I can afford. Decide where you're going to live. And sometimes you can't live in a state where you want to live. California's not for everybody. There's no way. When we were living in California, when my husband was alive, he made excellent money because he was in the building trade. But when he got sick and stuff, it wasn't a place where we could stay because he was was off work and he was Social Security disability. So that didn't work. And then the retirement and everything else, you couldn't survive on that with all their taxes and everything else.
I actually didn't like it out there in Laughlin because everything's cheaper. And it's when you're after all these expenses, do I want to pay $1 million and starve from paycheck to paycheck? I can pay for everything and still have a little left over to save, to invest, and then to be able to have fun at the same time. And it's like, okay, this will be great.
Yeah, you got to look and search areas and see what the cost of living is and realize, okay, I make this much and the cost of living here is this much. I can actually live very well.
And if you don't know what you want to do, all of this is going to be pointless. I'm a pretty cheap person. It doesn't take much to make me happy. Buy a house, a couple of dogs, and just to be able to sit and do this podcast and share knowledge and give everything, I'm good to go.
I agree.
And I don't do food like everybody else. I do intermittent fasting. I do one meal a day, basically. So I don't need to eat all day. So my food bill's cheap. All right. That's our little discussion. If you're listening, make sure to come over to YouTube so that you can get all of these wonderful mini episodes. We're only going to be on the audio only about once a month. We hope that you have enjoyed this lesson, that you've gotten value. Share it, subscribe, and we'll have more information to come. And I'll be giving out maybe little podcasts, just like little tidbits here and there as I have time for. You can definitely count on Debbie and I getting together, giving you content once a week. And then with our live session where you can engage with us once a month, that's going to be our basic default that you can look forward to. And we hope that you'll join us this year for The Great Escape. And that's all I have. Debbie, any concluding thoughts?
No, that pretty much sums the whole thing up. And with that, I want to say thank you for joining us. And stay healthy, stay curious, and we'll see you next time.